He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
And we will start with the Bronco because it is a topic of lots of news items, both on the radio and in the papers and on TV. And I spent an evening before we did this show watching several videos, and one was a Motor Week episode in which they had a fabulous drive-a-thon of the Broncos, leaping over rocks and all that kind of thing. But to that point that has been made just before we went on the air, the Bronco is delayed yet further into maybe the summer of 2021. On the other hand, there's an article that says that some of the Broncos are supposed to be arriving at dealerships even as we speak. And that may be the sport, because that's the first Bronco that's coming out. But I don't know whether any Bronco is going to show up soon. I'm just going to watch my Ford dealer to find out when I see one on his lot or another. It is going to be a very interesting vehicle. It's even one of the most interesting features I read about this morning before coming on the air was that it's going to have a built-in bottle opener in the back of its tailgate. On at least some of the models, if not all of the models, as a standard accessory in the
you mean like a
production line, like a can opener, yeah.
Like, but didn't we used to, I know we're all old, but didn't we used to know how to just get a bottle
off? Well, there were
anyway
ways you could do that with, yes, some of the closure things on some of the older vehicles, maybe even as late as last century, early as last century. But this is going to be a standard accessory that you can find just by opening up the tailgate on at least some, if not all, the models, and there will be a built-in attached bottle opener.
But
I don't think it's going to be, well, it may do a can opener, too. I can't tell you.
Okay.
Anyways, and they're also going to have the Bronco Sport. I had not read a lot about it. I think Jay knows more about it than I do. It's going to have some different interior accessory components to the regular Broncos, and apparently it's going to be more like my original Bronco size, in the two-door version at least, and it's going to have washable floor mats, much as the Honda Element did when they brought out that vehicle some years ago, and it's no longer in production, but it came with rubber floor mats, so you could actually hose out the interior without damaging any of the, presuming you didn't try to hose the seats at the same time.
Can I chime in here for 2 seconds?
Yes, go ahead.
The Bronco Sport is not a Bronco. The Bronco and the Bronco Sport are two totally different vehicles. They may look the same, they may be similar in size, but the Bronco Sport is not a body-on-frame
design. Correct, you are right.
And it really has nothing much in common with the Bronco except the name. And Ford is trying to capitalize on the Bronco name. Before even putting out the Bronco, they are coming out with the Bronco Sport, which, again, is not the real Bronco.
Well, Jay, I could agree with you. I don't know what the real Bronco is. It's going to be a real Bronco in Sport. It is a unibody version instead of the body on frame that the Bronco, as you're identifying it, is going to be. Actually, I looked at the Bronco, the Sport, this morning in pictures, and I saw it on TV last night. It is a very neat-looking vehicle in its own right, whether it's body-on-frame or unibody. And as I was saying, it matches, in my mind, more of what I used to own when my first vehicle ever in my life was a 69 Ford Bronco. I ordered custom, and I think I said on an earlier show, the retail price with everything I ordered on it back then was under $4,000.
But it was not.
And now we're talking about $28,000 to $30,000 for the Bronco Sport, I think, base price.
Okay.
But it was a two-door, and it did everything that you can see that the Bronco Sport can do, even if Jay thinks it's not the real Bronco. It'll be a real Bronco in my head anyways.
All right, this is
but it may actually be showing up at the dealerships now.
The Bronco Sport was always scheduled to come out before the Bronco.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe that's the one that's got the can opener on it. I don't know. I'll have to update my knowledge base after the show's over. So anyways, the Bronco in sport or in all the other iterations, and there are at least five or six different model designations right now with different packages available, is going to be a popular. They supposedly have around $165,000 pre-orders, but with the delays, an article I read presupposes that some of them will drop off the map because they won't want to wait as long as they apparently are going to have to wait for the real Bronco, as Jay would like to put it.
All right. What else would you like to talk about?
Oh, where did my list go? Hyundai, also I watched on Motor Week last night. Interesting, if people do get or have TV, subscription TV with these better, some of the premium channels on it, Motor Week is a very interesting weekly, in general, weekly show about road tests and all that. And Jay, I think, watches it. And I do when I get a chance to catch up to it, but they're all taped, and so I don't know how new the ones I watched were, but I saw the one last night which had the Broncos sport or the Broncos galloping over the terrain, and it was fun to watch. I also watched a Porsche, was it Cayenne, I think? Jay, what's that, the small SUV?
It's a nice-looking car.
Small, you mean in the Porsche line?
Yeah.
Smaller SUV is the Macan.
The Macan, sorry.
So is the Cayenne.
I watched
the
Motor Week episode on the Macan and the upgrades for 2020, most of which is all about a more powerful engine and sportier driving and handling characteristics. And they ended by saying, but it's a very expensive small SUV, as I think it starts at right around $80,000 with the turbo engine options on it, which makes it very expensive, again, outside many people who listen to the show's purse strings, I'm sure.
Well, you know, there are, I mean, speaking of expensive SUVs, I saw the first new 2021 Cadillac Escalade on the New Jersey Turnpike this weekend, big black thing. And, you know, it looks like an Escalade, and since then I went and looked at the reviews of it, and apparently, it drives very well. It's better than ever. It's now got independent rear suspension, and that makes gives the opportunity to have a little more room in the back on the third seat and in the trunk, in the storage area in the back. And it's an all around great vehicle. And started looking at them online on Auto Trader, and they start. You know, you can buy one for $85,000. No cheap vehicle here. But you know, we see a lot of I see a lot of you know, $80,000, $100,000 vehicles driving around the neighborhood. So we're certainly going to see some on our roads as well. I have no doubt.
And talking about Cadillac, which is a good time to have brought that up, apparently around 115 dealers may be buying. Taking the buyouts that Cadillac was offering that we mentioned on the show a week or two ago, that if they did not want to go the route of upgrading their dealerships to handle the all-electric vehicles that are coming online for Cadillac only electric vehicles by 2030, maybe not only, maybe they'll hold on to something like the Escalade with a gasoline engine. But so some of the Cadillac dealers are deciding that they don't have the money to do it, or they don't think that the electric situation is going to be as omnipresent as Cadillac thinks it's going to be. And I gather those buyouts are ranging between $200,000 and $500,000 to those dealers who will close down their Cadillac doors. I don't know whether they can sell their dealerships if they decide to bow out or not. But anyways, that's the latest on the Cadillac. The demise of some of Cadillac dealers. So if you're a Cadillac owner and you're listening to this show, and you may want to check on where your next Cadillac dealer is going to be if you keep a Cadillac beyond 2022, which I guess is when the buyouts will probably be completed.
Is this akin to what happened with the Isuzu way back when?
No. It's akin to GM deciding that if you want to be a Cadillac dealer, you better be prepared to handle all the vehicles that Cadillac's bringing forth in the coming years, mainly in the electric vehicle line. And they announced to their dealerships that if they didn't want to be an electric Cadillac dealer as well as the existing remaining fossil fuel Cadillacs, they needed to take the GM's offer to buy them out, so they close the shops or sell the dealerships to another dealer who might want to be a full-fledged Cadillac dealer going forward.
I am still skeptical when it comes to either GM or Ford going all electrical or their
commitment to electric
vehicles.
I agree.
And putting the target at 2030, 10 years away, is an easy target to put way far out of reach, and a lot of things can happen in the next 10 years. But to jump on our weekly electric topic, Robin, did you get the same email I did from PSIA, our Ski Instructors Association, with an offer to be one of the first to purchase the new Volkswagen ID4?
Well, you know, I know we as PSIA members are able to get special deals on Volkswagen vehicles. When did it come out? I have not seen it, Jay, but
so
it's possible.
The email I got the email this past week, and it was pretty straightforward. It was very Tesla-like in the sense for $100, you can reserve your slot, a refundable $100. You can reserve your slot in the Volkswagen production.
Presumably ahead of the public.
ID4s.
Yeah. Very nice. Very interesting. I will check it out. I know it's probably in my emails.
So pretty much for $45,000, you can get a all-wheel drive electric Volkswagen, reasonably equipped, and it's a it's probably comparable in size to a Tesla Y, probably even a little larger inside is my guess.
Jay, what's its range if we were to try to drive to Stowe from here?
You probably could. I think the range is going to be around the 300.
We'll have to do that, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it do it for you, too? 300 is probably what you need to do to comfortably get there at the moment. However, quicker battery charging systems are on the horizon, and apparently Toyota's got an idea, or somebody's got an idea, that a solid-state battery is the way to go because it's going to afford much quicker charging. And, you know, the target in my head for a real convenient electric vehicle recharge is not more than 10 minutes to be able to go at least 200 more miles from where you had to stop to get that charge to go the next 200 or 300 miles. I saw something online this morning about Fiat or Jeep having a play on something, and they showed a Jeep Wrangler 4E, E is for the electric, which is coming out shortly, somewhere out in probably the Arizona Canyonlands, and they're standing right next to, against the horizon of the rocks, of the red rocks and all that, was a charging station with a Ford Wrangler four-door plugged into it, out in nowhere is basically what that was looking like. And that's what's going to have to happen for me or people like me that are going off the main arteries, going up into the canyons and the valleys of these beautiful places we have in our country to see if we're going to be trying to do that in an electric vehicle. Because if there aren't charging stations up at the end of a dead-end canyon road in a national park or something to be able to recharge your electric vehicle, it's going to be very hard for you if you're down at 50% or less on your remaining range, getting to a point where the road turnoff to go another 100 miles down into a national park is awaiting your arrival if you're trying to drive an electric vehicle.
All right.
I know Jay has something to say about that. I can't wait to hear.
No, I'm sure we're going to see charging stations, including in the national parks. When's the last time you were in a national park?
Well, I want to go back out next year with my wife, frankly. And but I would tell you that I went down one of those roads one time over 30 years ago when I was making irregular cross-country drive-around-the-country trips. And I know how far down you can be, and if your gas tank is not, you know, half full by the time you get down there, you're going to make sure that the next stop is going to be a gas station as you're pulling out of there to go in the next 200 miles. And there isn't anything down there, human beings or not, after 5 o'clock in the afternoon in some of these places that you can go. So you can't look for a ready tow if you do run yourself out of some kind of fuel that's powering your vehicle. Anyways, enough on that for our listeners. The other things I have on my little list of cars, I looked at one of the Motor Week things on the new Mercedes S-Class, and Jay, you're probably up to speed on that. They've really changed the look of the S-Class sedans with, I think, quite an attractive look, and I distinctly thought of Maybach, however you pronounce it, when I looked at the silhouette, the side silhouette of the new S-Class series.
Well,
the roof line down the trunk reminded me of the Maybach design, and I think Mercedes is sort of bringing some of their upscale looks into their lower level cars. The S-Class is not a lower level car, incidentally.
I wouldn't call the S-Class a lower scale vehicle. I mean, it is the top of the line Mercedes. It's a full size Mercedes. It does look. I like the look of it.
I do too.
It's very clean. It's a very clean look. The Maybach versions are out already, I believe.
They are.
And actually, I was just looking at the Maybach version of the GLS class of the SUV, you know, to talk about uber luxury SUV. And, you know, for $185,000, you can get into a Maybach GLS, you know, the full-size SUV Mercedes. And it's over the top, and it competes with, you know, the Rolls-Royce Cullinan and the, Bentley.
Bentley,
Vega,
right.
And a very few others. But I'm sure we'll see a few as well.
Well, we've got Rolls-Royces in our corner, and we've got some Bentleys in our corner, so we'll see some Maybachs, too. And I'm looking at a picture of the... Maybach S-Class look and indeed it looks very similar to the silhouette on the S-Series that I was looking at on TV the other evening. Then I watched a Mitsubishi hybrid plug-in Outlander review. I think it was a long-term review by Motor Week, and Mitsubishi is a struggling brand in our country. They don't have a large dealership body, so they're not convenient for, I think Watertown is the nearest Mitsubishi dealer to our broadcast area in the northwest corner, and they're scattered about. Always liked the Mitsubishis, the look, and especially in their SUV. And so they had a review of the hybrid plug-in Mitsubishi, and they were getting 32 miles a gallon average over their term, which is pretty good for an SUV silhouetted car, which are not necessarily slipping through the air as well as these sleek sedans are. But being an SUV, they are generally a little heavier than some of the lighter weight vehicles that are hybrids and or electrics. And once you're over 32 miles a gallon, the Toyota hybrid, the Toyota RAV4 hybrid is a very excellent vehicle and mileage, and that you can get often 40-plus miles a gallon in the RAV4, according to some owners I've talked to over the last couple of years. And I think that anybody who gets one of those keeps it a long time, but the owners have been thrilled with the mileage capability of a RAV4 hybrid, for example. I'm not advertising it, but I'm saying to the listenership, if you're getting into hybrid mode, in SUV mode, hybrids are very good for vehicles that normally aren't expected to get really great mileage overall per tank full as opposed to just on a trip because of their square look and weight factor, especially in all-wheel drive modes.
I think that the Toyota RAV4 hybrid is probably one of the smartest buys you can make right now.
I agree. If it's big enough for you, because actually Toyota's got a hybrid line right across a lot of their lines. They've got the Corolla hybrid, they've got the Avalon hybrid, they've got the Camry hybrid, they've got the Forerunner, the Highlander hybrid, And they have really been going all out with hybrid vehicles, as we have said off and on in the show. They've been sort of way ahead of the game, and they've structured. I think Sonata's not going to, and Kia even,
remember,
are not going to be far behind with their hybrid versions of their sedans and their SUVs. So while everybody, there's a large segment of the industry that's heading for pure electric, I think the hybrid sector is going to still be a very strong alternative, if only because you don't have to plug it in unless you get a plug-in version of it. And even if you get a plug-in version of, let's say, the Toyota or any of the vehicles lineup, but they still have a fossil fuel engine in it, you can go a long way or not even have to plug those in at certain points if you don't want to run them on pure electric for the 30 to 50 miles that those plug-in ones are going to give you before the gas of the fossil fuel engine comes on to start running the vehicle instead of the electric motors.
All right.
Jay, we're going to turn the show over to Jay. He's got to have a list.
Well, that's really nice of you. You've got 2 whole minutes left.
Oh, geez. Okay.
I was thinking of safety tidbits.
Yeah, I think a good idea.
I can't think of any of except the usual.
All right, but speaking of the usual, and I'm going to interject here, and this is a Robin thing. People truly do not know which way they should be walking.
You're correct. Every day.
So
yesterday it was the latest day, because it was, to this broadcast show, that people were walking the wrong way in dark clothing in dusk.
Okay, so the right way is...
facing the traffic coming towards you in the lane that you're walking in.
That would
not
be the left
walking
side of
the same way the traffic's
America.
Going, so they creep up behind you and possibly hit you without you giving you a chance to see what's going to happen.
I know, but Jay, I just heard you say that would be the left side of the road. Yes, in theory, but most people actually need to hear that they should be walking into the oncoming traffic, whichever side of the road, because they will just continue. I had my own experience, and it's admittedly it's hard, but between the smallish country roads, the new people, the dark clothing, and the kind of lack of connection, it's a good, you want to stay alive, especially if you're walking out there with your kid or with your dog, because with your ear pods on, because that seems to be the...
That is what's going on, ear pods. And boy, you don't hear things when you've got your ear pods booming music in your ears. So,
and by the way, that's gone on since the beginning of the Walkman.
Yeah,
years,
right.
30, 40. But the thing that is true is you don't hear things. You can feel the car as it swooshes by you, but then it's a little bit late.
Especially if it
hits you.
You
can feel the car, there's a problem, right?
Yeah, that's always the way that I figured it. But Jay, do you have anything else that you want to add along those lines? Or
I have one more thing, and that is we had this rain over a past weekend, and it froze on the roads. And I am very happy that they didn't go out and sand the roads or salt the roads to try to keep every little droplet, frozen or otherwise, from freezing for the salt effect that happens, the corrosive effect that happens from this stuff on our cars.
Well,
does... Jay mentioned it, I think, last week. Check your tires for tread depth, and because treads do allow better potential braking and steering contact on the pavement than very low treaded tires, or even no tread tires. There are a lot of older cars running around with almost treadless tires, and you may not find your car steering or stopping if you have to brake suddenly or turn suddenly. On a black asphalt road that may have frozen frost or water on the surface.
So yeah, I mean, you brought up a good point over the weekend it was raining pretty hard. I think Saturday night, and then the temperatures dropped like a rock,
and the puddles all froze.
Black ice left and right because it was, I was on the roads, and then I got home and slipped on my deck getting into the house. So.
Right. And different surfaces, different things. We are out of time. We will do this again next week. He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.